Blog Talk Radio.
My God is real. He is real in my soul. My God is real. He has washed and made me whole. His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul. My God is real, He's real in my soul. My God is real, I can feel He made me whole. His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul. There are some things that I may not know. There are some places that I just can't go. God's one thing for sure, my God is real. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul. My God is real, He's real in my soul. My God is real, He has washed and made me whole. And His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul.
Praise the Lord, everybody. This is Macedonian Call around the globe. We're coming to you from Springboro, Ohio, and we know this is a busy time of the year, and we thank you for listening and taking time out of your busy life to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you're in a third world country, we sure are praying for you that you can have freedom like we do here in the United States to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus during this great, wonderful season to worship Him. Remember, Jesus is the reason for the season, and this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, and we love that scripture because, you know, every moment, every single minute that you serve God, you've gone too far to turn back now. I heard a preacher once say if the backslider would have prayed one more time, he wouldn't have backslid. So if you want to be part of this broadcast, we encourage you to call in. And you could call in at 347-989-8862. Again, it's 347-989-8862. And our subject tonight is on judgment. And Brother Green's already informed me it's going to be real good. So how many know that when you are delivering the Word of God, it's so good? And John the Revelator, he was to eat up the little book in Revelations 10, and in his mouth it was so sweet. And you know, to us Christians, it is so sweet. But when we deliver it and people turn a deaf ear and they just cast, we cast our pearls before swine and they just turn and rend us, it's bitter in our stomach. And I believe that's what the Lord was talking about when they turn a deaf ear to our Lord and Savior, and how we've got a great zeal to serve God. And when we first get saved, and I don't care if we've been in it 20, 30, 40 years, we should keep that zeal to want to tell others about the Lord. Praise God. So we hope that we're going to bring light to this subject of judgment. It's a kind of controversial, but, you know, we've got the Word of God to stand on, and we hope that we can kind of straighten things out about judgment. Praise the Lord. Our judgment, however you want to go with it. So again, we want you to call in at 347-989-8862, and you want to email us. We are heisrisen38@aol.com. Again, it's heisrisen38@aol.com. We realize over in the third world countries, you probably can't call by phone, but if you have access to an internet and you can email, please email us. Praise God. We've got several prayer requests that's come in tonight. This is a two-hour broadcast. And again, we want to thank every one of you that listen. Thank you all for your comments and just being a part of this with us. And we sure do love people, I tell you. And that's how our Lord and Savior is. Christina King says we need a way to fix our truck, she's saying. Jeremy Hall, he has a testimony, Jesus never fails. Maria Sinner says she and her husband has a virus that is going around. Keep us in your prayers. She's down there in Kentucky, so keep her lifted up in prayer. Her and her husband, they are not feeling well tonight. Bonnie Burke's unspoken request, Lord knows all about it. And she says, God bless the ministry. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Bonnie. Gladys Dittmer says, please be praying for a young boy who is a Christian. He lives in Israel. His name is Yesiah, and he is being bullied in school by three boys. He needs God to move. Please also pray for Pastor Kenny Mobley. He had a stroke recently and is in the hospital, and we want complete healing. Praise God. Donna Million, she says, I suffer with depression. Could you please pray for me? Jerry Bowen says, my mom's husband is in ICU. His name's Bill Taylor. He needs all the prayers he can get. He has heart failure and kidney failure, and his lungs are in bad shape. Please pray for him. Praise the Lord. He's a cousin of mine that's asking prayer for a stepdad, so remember that. Diane Bueller, she says she wants prayer for us, for this ministry. And she says that you continue to do what God wants you to do. Let me read that exactly. A prayer for you that you can continue to do what you do. You are the most selfless person that I know. And I wanted to read that not to boast on me or Brother Green, but I wanted to share a little bit of a testimony right there. She's a really good friend of mine from high school, and there was a time that I was in need, and I was a teenager, and her mother and father took me to church, and I never will forget that. And there was a time where also that I needed a place to live, and she and her parents gave me shelter, and I really appreciate that they are part of why I'm here today serving God. And I just love the Lord, and I appreciate Diane and her mom, and her dad's now gone on. So that was the Weta family, and she is now married to Bueller. Praise God. So we want to give God the glory tonight for we had a great day yesterday, thanking the Lord for everything that he's done for us, and we pray and we thank him 365 days of the year, but we take a day out on Thanksgiving to celebrate and to thank him for freedom in our country, that when the pilgrims came over and the Indians, and they had their feast, their first Thanksgiving, and I want to thank the Lord for that freedom that we have. Praise God, and we hope that we continue to have that freedom. And praise the Lord. So at this time, we're going to have Rachel. She's our 10-year-old daughter, and she's a great blessing to us, and she's going to come to you with her Bible scripture.
Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them, do them.
Praise God. So we're talking about judgment tonight. If you want to be a part of this, it's 347-989-8862. Praise God. We've got a caller here tonight, a couple of them. We're going to have 770 come in and tell us who you are and where you're located.
Praise the Lord, Brother Sister Green. This is Brother John from Thompson, Georgia.
Praise God, Brother John. Glad to have you in here tonight. Just here in a moment, we'll have you to obey the Lord. Okay, brother?
Okay, sister. Thank you.
Okay, 706, come in, tell us who you are and where you're located.
Frieda Litchfield in Thomaston, Georgia, Sister and Brother Green.
Praise God, Sister Frieda, good that you called in. Thank you, and we appreciate you guys very much. And, you know, it's awesome. I said it before many times. We're probably 400 or 500 miles away from one another, and how God has made a way that we could use the internet, we can use the telephone, we've got good music that we can download, but we can play off of YouTube to go with the subject, and you know, and God has provided a way to do this right from our own home, and I just love the Lord, and I praise Him, thank Him. I know it's late on Friday night that we do the broadcast, but it is archived, it's recorded that others can listen in and at any time that they want to. So God's amazing. We have over 50,000 listeners from all over the world. And last time I checked, I know I saw Haiti, Uganda, South Korea, and the list just goes on continually. The Philippines, and God is just amazes me. And we've almost been on now for a year, and you know, it's God, Brother John. It is totally God. We can never. We would fill up, I don't know how many football stadiums to get over 50,000 people to come hear us. And, you know, that would never probably ever happen unless we were way up there. You know, we don't want our name and lights, and we're nothing, you know. But, you know, God has provided. We're not professional. We don't speak proper. I know I don't. I don't speak proper English, and I don't speak proper language of any language unless it's the heavenly language that God gave me, the Holy Ghost, the speaking in tongues. And I may not know what I'm saying, but the Lord sure does know what I'm saying. Praise God. And I hope this tonight broadcast, I hope it's a blessing to you. And at this time, we're going to have Brother John, we're going to have you come in there, brother, and just obey God.
Okay, if you want to, Sister Green, you can go ahead and let Sister Frieda go first.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that. Sister Frieda,
you've been doing that all week long, Brother John.
All right, go ahead, Sister.
All right, I got a praise report and some prayer requests.
Praise God.
Praise report, we had a wonderful week. And I don't know if you've heard, have you heard Brother and Sister Yearwood talk about my car that the Lord is going to give me with no car payments?
No.
No, you hadn't. Well, I still claim it. That is mine, that the Lord is going to give it to me in His time. But I got one of our neighbors, dad's in the nursing home. So his name is Charles Harp. So let's remember him in prayer. And also Robin. She had some a procedure Tuesday, but she's doing better. But just keep her in prayer. The Lord's going to work everything out. Okay. All right, Brother John, I'm going to start. I'm going to start first from John 16. I'm going to start at verse 8 and go through verse 11. And when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. And then I'm going to go to Romans 14:10. But why doest thou judge thy brother? Or why doest thou set a naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God, of Christ, sorry. You know, if we go against our own family, the people we're around all the time, if we go against them, what does that make the Lord? If we can't see Him, but He can see us, we have to have brotherly love towards each one. And, you know, I feel so blessed. Yesterday was a wonderful day, but I celebrated my Monday. My family, I had my mom, my dad, my daughter, and my granddaughter with me Monday. Because they were a campground host, and Monday and Tuesday, their only days off. But you know what? I feel blessed to have a house over my head, a house to live in, the electricity on, and the Lord doing what He needs to do. But we have to love each other. We don't want to put judgment on. The Lord's the only one that's supposed to judge each one. But, you know, we have to just let Him do what He wants to do. And, I mean, I feel blessed. We had a good service Wednesday night. We had a good service Sunday morning. And I think the Lord is working. But these people, God's people and the sinners, have got to turn back to Him. They can't do it in their own. They got to just turn it over to the Lord and let the Lord take control. Back to you, Brother Sister Green.
Praise the Lord. I'm believing with you, Sister Frieda, that God will provide that transportation. And I know what really stuck out to me is how you said that you're going to use that for God. And
that's
amazing, because that's exactly what this telephone's about, this computer that I'm sitting in front of, and that's exactly what it's about. We pay a monthly fee, but we use it for God. And to Him be all the glory. Praise the Lord.
That's right.
Brother John, go ahead, brother.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate the opportunity to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God began to deal with me about, we're speaking about judgment tonight. That can be the divine or human judgment of justice or correcting another thing. And God began to deal with me about judgment committed to the Son. And that's out of John chapter 5. And we're going to start reading in verse 10. But what had happened previous to that, the Lord Jesus Christ had healed a impotent man who had was laying by the pool of Bethesda, and where the waters were troubled. And as they begin to, in verse 10, it says, "The Jews therefore said unto him," that was cured, talking about the man who had, he was told to take up his bed and walk. And he said, "Rise up and take his bed and walk." And he said, "The Jews therefore said unto him," that was cured, "It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed." They had come to the place, and they had accused Jesus of breaking the Sabbath, amen, for healing this man on the Sabbath day, the day of rest. And the Bible says in verse 11, he said, he answered them, "He that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk." Then asked they him, "What man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk?" And he that was healed wist not that it was who it was. For Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. You know, just like Sister Green said, you know, he made himself no reputation at that time. He wasn't worried about his name going forth. Here was the Lord of glory. He had healed this man on the Sabbath, but he had stolen away. It wasn't about a reputation. It wasn't about a big thing, even coming to himself, even though he was worthy. But tonight, amen, tonight we need to know who the healer is, amen, and we need to know, amen, that the thing that he does is righteous and just, and man had chosen, amen, not to heal and do the works of the Father on the Sabbath day. They had chosen to do no works. You know, the sin of omission is just as great. The sin of doing nothing, amen, is just as great as any sin. The Bible says if we're guilty of least of these, we're guilty of all. And so tonight we need not be guilty, amen. We're talking about judgment. Well, I pray that our judgment against us would be that we haven't done nothing, that we sit on the pews and done nothing, that we've attended church and done nothing. And I know there are many of you, amen, even tonight, that some of you are even hazarding your life to even hear, listen to this broadcast, to hear the gospel, because you're hungering and thirsting after righteousness. But the Lord's promise to you tonight, amen, as you come forth, amen, that he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled, according to Matthew chapter 5. And so tonight, amen, as this man was healed on the Sabbath day, he had been in this manner for 38 years. He had been in this way, amen, for infirmity, and he had no man to put him in the place of healing. Tonight, maybe you don't have a someone else to put you in the place of healing, but there is a man. There is a God, amen, and his name is Jesus. Tonight, he'll put you in that place of healing and wholeness tonight. That's what he wants to bring you to. Amen. His judgment is fair, and his judgment is just. Did this man, amen, deserve to be healed? No, none of us deserve, amen. The Lord Jesus Christ, it is the healing, is the children bred tonight, amen, as he judged, and through the Lord Jesus Christ, and having our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, he is our healer, and he is the way, he is the one that makes us whole. And the Bible says, in verse 14, says, "Afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest the worst thing come unto thee." In other words, you would have been in a worse, your worst state would have been worse than the last day would have been worse than the first. And you need to know tonight, amen, when a time, church, that we don't think it can get any better, amen, it's a time that we need to, amen, have the Lord find us in the temple seeking the face of the Lord. We need to find him, that he's coming and he reveals himself. Tonight, church, you need to let the judge, amen, the Lord of glory, the Bible says, judge stands at the door. We are not to judge anyone, amen. Now the saints will judge, amen, the saints of the world. The disciples will judge, amen. Hallelujah, the tribes of Israel, but, amen, but the saints, the believers, the martyrs, the witnesses will judge the things of the world. And we need to know tonight, amen, that as we do, we are not to judge one another, amen, and sit on the seat of judgment. That's reserved for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, amen, he sought, amen, this man was put there, and he saw that this man needed to be healed, even though it was the Sabbath day. You know, many of them, amen, besought to come against Jesus because he had healed on the Sabbath day. The Bible says in verse 15, said the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus, sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. Amen. The elders and the Jews began to want to persecute Jesus. They began to want to even kill him, amen, because he had done this. Even though that is so funny because here they were willing to break the law, amen, of the Sabbath. They were willing to break the commandments to do away with someone, amen, who had done nothing wrong, amen. They looked at it, amen. Here was this man, you know, even asked them in other scriptures, says, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? Is it lawful to heal in the time of rest, amen, when we're resting and ceasing from the works of our flesh? And then the Bible says, and therefore did the Jews, verse 17, excuse me, but Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. In other words, from this on, this time on, my Father, it's my Father's works that is being done. Tonight, church, so we need to come to the Father and believe in him. We need to have, amen, of faith. We need to have the access to the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. No man comes unto the Father but by the Son. He is the sacrifice. He is the way that turns back to the Father. Verse 18 said, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he had not only broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. In other words, everything that the Son seen the Father do, that's what he done. He saw the Father do. And what he would see the Father do is it would have been the Father's works to heal this man on the Sabbath day. It would have been the Father's works to release this man from his infirmity. And you know what? It's the Father's works tonight, right now, all across this globe. There are those of you that are bound by your afflictions, bound by your infirmities. You've laid, just like this man did, by the place of healing and wholeness for all these years. But tonight, God is troubling the waters. God is sitting at the seat of judgment, and he's saying, whether we are, it's not about us being worthy. Our faith in him, amen, he has judged us, because the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. In other words, when our life is hid in Christ, when we are in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no judgment, because the Son is just. You know, the Bible teaches us, amen, in John chapter 8, there was a time, amen, the Bible says that the scribes and the Pharisees there in John chapter 8, verse 3 says, and the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now, we need to know tonight, amen, that was against the Levitical law, Leviticus 20 and 10. So we know that, amen, that they would be brought to be stoned if someone was caught in adultery. He said, now Moses in the law, verse 5, commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This, they said, tempting him. In other words, they were trying Jesus, amen, to see what he might do, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. Amen. So verse 7, so when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said to them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast the stone of her. In other words, if there's any among you that's without sin, take the stones of innocency and throw at her. And the Bible says, and again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And which they heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Their own sin condemned them. Their own sin caused them to move away. They had all been caught, amen, in their sin. Tonight, we serve a righteous God. We serve a God that should give us a righteous judgment. But because of his mercy and grace tonight, because he sits on the mercy seat, not only in the judgment seat, but he sits on the seat of mercy. Thank God tonight that he's given us mercy tonight, church. Thank God tonight that he's given this world and these nations that are listening tonight mercy and grace. Amen. For while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Tonight, we don't deserve to have life. We don't deserve to have the things that he gives, but it is the gifts of giving. For we're saved by grace through faith, which is not a gift to ourselves. It's a gift of God tonight. And I thank God for that gift. And even though this woman was caught in the mist, and even though this woman was well known that she was an adulterous woman, the Bible says when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? In other words, hath no man judged thee now? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. You know, we have examples here tonight that when God delivers us, when the Lord Jesus Christ gives us of his grace, when the Lord Jesus Christ sends the judgment, a man is told not to do the penalty anymore. God, by his grace and mercy, gives us the sentence of life. We deserve a death sentence. The Bible says that the Apostle Paul says we have this sentence of death within us. Amen. She, according to the law, should have been stoned, but she was not stoned. She was set free to go and live for Jesus. Tonight, church, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Some of you would say, well, I was born free, but you were not born free from sin. But tonight, the Word of God, the truth, will set you free from the sin, and you'll no longer have to serve sin. But I thank God tonight, going back to John chapter 5, hallelujah. He said, amen. He said, verse 19, said, then answered Jesus, and then, brother, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. The Father is showing the Son everything that he does, and the Son is doing everything that the Father shows him. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. Tonight we have an opportunity that we're going to marvel at the works of the Father, the works of the Son, because he's going to do a works within us. There's a greater works, amen, tonight. That greater works is the grace and mercy of God. That greater works is outreach tonight to every one of us. Even though we stand before him guilty, we will be set free tonight as we choose, and we come to him, and we bow down before him and worship him and give our lives and give our sins and cast our cares to him tonight as we give all, amen, and everything. He just wants you tonight, church. He just wants you. He just wants you just as you are tonight. Nothing special, amen, but just as you've been called, just as you've been chosen to come before him and to be his sons and daughters and to go forth and witness for him and receive of his Spirit. That's what he's asking of you tonight. That's what we want to give thanks for tonight. That is the judgment that we've received, amen, to live unto everlasting life. Verse 21, for as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth him, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. He makes those alive. Tonight, church, you can be made alive. Even if you don't know this Jesus, you can receive him right now. Brother and Sister Green can lead you to the sinner's prayer. They can lead you, amen, to the cross at Calvary. They can lead you to an altar. That's what they do. That's what the ministers on this program do, lead you in. Maybe you need healing tonight. Maybe you need wholeness tonight. Maybe you have a counselor. Maybe you have one other infirmity. Or maybe you're sensitive. Maybe you're addicted. Or maybe you sold your body. Maybe you're a male prostitute or female prostitute or harlot. have been living on the streets. Maybe you're homeless tonight, and maybe you've had to do some things you didn't want to do, and maybe you've been caught. The Lord Jesus Christ can set you free. The Lord Jesus Christ can save you. You can hear him say, go and sin no more. Neither do I condemn thee. Neither do I judge thee tonight. For there's no condemnation if you come to me. There's no judgment if you'll come to me. Amen. And be in me. And hallelujah. And the Bible says, so for the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, not the Father, which hath sent him. What is he saying? The Lord Jesus Christ is your honor tonight. The Lord Jesus Christ is your judge tonight. All judgment has been committed unto the Son. Amen. We are to give him honor. Verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. Tonight, how can we pass from the death sentence into the life sentence, a life sentence of eternal life? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. It's a life sentence. Amen. Hallelujah. We thank God for the pardon. The Bible says that he's abundant pardon, but we've been released. We were all on death row tonight. Amen. But God has set us free, and our sentence is life eternal with him. Did we earn it? No, we didn't. But we sit here, and he's come in and chosen us. The Bible says he that visits you in prison, and tonight he's visited you in your prison. Amen. You've been waiting on death row, but your sentence was life. Your sentences have been overturned. Those of you that were waiting for lethal injection, those of you that were waiting for this, those of you that were waiting to die, now you can live eternally. Amen. Because the judge has overturned your sentence. Amen. You sit before him, and you were guilty before him, but he gave you innocence. Why? Because you've been covered by the blood of the innocent one. Jesus said, I betrayed the innocent blood. Tonight you are covered. One drop of blood, one amoeba of blood. Brother John Starnes used to say, love grew where the blood fell. Tonight, the blood fell at the foot of the cross. And tonight, if you'll just come to the foot of the cross, if you'll come to that judgment seat at the foot of the cross tonight, you'll also be at the mercy seat. Jesus went to Golgotha, the place of payment. He went to the praetorium, the judgment hall. They found him not guilty. They found nothing in him of life. Amen. Guilty of life. But tonight we have received his sentence. They found in us, as we are in him tonight, not guilty. Release them and set them free. The Lord went to the cross of Calvary for us tonight. He was judged innocent, but he became guilty. He became sin, that we would become sinless tonight. Oh, hallelujah. And the Bible says if we'll just hear his word and believe on him, our sentence tonight will be everlasting life with him. Verse 25, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is. The hour has already come, church, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Those of you that are dead in trespasses and sins tonight, that's hearing this word right now, you're coming alive. You're in the places of the grave, but right now you're hearing the word of God, and the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to you through this broadcast and telling you to come out of your places of death, come out of your grave, come out of your sickness, come out of your sin, come forth just like Lazarus, and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, come forth and be alive and well. For as the Father, verse 26, hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and have given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. He's the judge because he's not only the Son of God, he's the Son of Man. He come and robed himself in flesh. The Bible says he was God manifested in the flesh, received unto glory, manifested unto the Gentiles, received unto glory, amen. And so manifested in the flesh. He said, verse 28, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in that which all they that are in the grave shall hear his word. There's going to be an hour coming. Now is the hour when the believers hear him, but there's going to be an hour, amen, hallelujah, that all will hear his voice. Amen. And those that hear in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. There's two resurrections tonight. Resurrection to damnation of those of you that have done evil. Resurrection of eternal life to those of you that have done good. When you hear his voice in the grave, I can of my own self do nothing? As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. He said in the Garden of Gethsemane, he told us in the prayer to the Father, amen, he said, Lord, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And when he was there in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, nevertheless, he said, be possible, let this cup of death pass from me. Let this cup of wrath pass from me. But it was not possible. He had to drink of it. And church tonight, we're drinking that same cup. But that cup tonight is the blood of Jesus Christ. He will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That bread tonight is the bread of life. It is the communion. When you break bread, just as we're doing right now, we're having communion. We're breaking the bread of life. We're sitting down and eating the bread of life, and it will give you eternal life. Amen. And he said, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There's another that heareth witness of me, and I know that that witness which he witnessed of me is true. He sent unto John, and he bear witness unto the truth. Tonight, church, amen, all judgment has been committed unto the Son. And just as the Son, as he heard, he said, not guilty, set them free. Better choice, let Barabbas go or let Jesus go. Tonight, Jesus has went to the place, amen, to the cross for you, that you might be made sinless. You've been made not guilty by the blood of Jesus Christ. Will you receive that sentence tonight? Will you receive that judgment of the judge tonight? He's sitting on the mercy seat. Will you receive his mercy? Will you receive the commandment? He speaks with authority. Tonight, receive him as Lord and Savior. And you'll enter in, and he'll say, enter in, and you'll be able to go into the judge's chambers for the rest of your life. Go ahead, Brother Sister Green.
Praise God, Brother John. And, you know, Brother John's talking to you tonight, and you need to pray. Find yourself a place to pray, and the Lord will sure wipe away all your sins if you ask him to. And John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And that's for everybody. Praise God. And if you get sincere with the Lord, he'll sure save you. And at this time, we're going to hang in there, Brother John and Sister Frida. We're going to, there's another caller here. I'm going to get him to come in and tell us who you are and where you're located. Oh, 423. I'm sorry.
This is Evangelist Lloyd and Betty Yearwood. We're down here in Madisonville, Tennessee there, Sister Green.
Praise the Lord. And good to have you call in there. We appreciate y'all, and we'll get you here in a moment, Brother Yearwood. And if Sister Betty has any scriptures, too, that she'd like to share, and she can get those ready. And I don't know if Timothy's home now, and he might want to share a song with us here in a bit. He's more than welcome. Is he with y'all tonight?
No, he's in North Carolina tonight.
Okay. All righty. So we're going to get this song here, and then we're going to have you obey God, Brother Yearwood.
Okay.
Okay.
Children feel their precious blood where once they
Praise God. I hope that song blessed you. It sure blessed me, and I have never heard that song before until a little while ago when I was looking for songs to play for the broadcast. And if you'd like to hear that song again, it's The Dunaways on YouTube, and it's called Judgment Day. And I hope it blesses your soul and to hear it again. And I'd like to learn the song, actually, for church. And at this time, we're going to have Brother Yearwood, go ahead, brother, and you and Sister Betty, just obey God.
Okay, we appreciate it there, Sister Green. We've got a few scriptures here we're going to try to speak on the Lord's help. We're going to start out in Matthew 7th chapter there. You know, there's a lot of times today that it seems like a lot of people are already trying to place judgment upon people, but God's word is forever settled in heaven, and I'm going to stand on God's word. You know, I tell Betty and I tell everybody, you know, I don't judge no man, because God's word, as Brother John was saying there a while ago, you know, we can't take the seat of Jesus. We can't take his seat and take his authority, and he's the one's going to judge everybody one of these days. We just better be trying our best to please him and walk up rightly before him. So I'm going to let Betty read here for us. So starting in 7th chapter of St. Matthew.
Verse 1 says, "Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured unto you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in your own eye?"
Amen. You see, he was telling us there in the first verse there, he said, "Judge not, that you be not judged." You know, I've always seen and I've always noticed any time that I start trying to place judgment on anything, you know, somebody else I will come back with the same judgment or even harsh judgment on you. So, you know, God's not pleased with us trying to take his place or trying to take his authority. He said, "Judge not, that you be not judged." I thank God tonight that we need to stand on his word, and we need to realize that he is telling us that we don't have no place in judgment. But praise God, I believe the word was telling us over there in another passage of scripture that he is the judge. And if he's the judge, then every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And, you know, we don't have no authority, but one day after a while, we're going to have to stand before him, and we're going to have to kneel down right before him, and we're going to have to confess that he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. Every idle word that we speak, we're going to have to give an account for it. Everything that we say, we're going to have to answer to him. And, you know, I tell you, it's a time that we stop and we stand and we study these things over. Before we start trying to place judgment on anyone else, we need to know that we need to judge ourselves. The word said, if I judge myself, I need not a judge. I don't need nobody try to judge me, but I just need to judge myself with the word of God. You know, there's too many people today trying to twist the word around to fit them, but we don't need to try to twist the word around to fit us or to fit them, but we need to twist ourselves around to fit the word of God. And if
Amen.
We do that, then we need not a judge. I thank God tonight that we don't have to be whatever that we have to judge somebody else with. God has already got them judged. His word will already judge them, my friend. All we need to do is just measure up to the word of God ourselves. Praise the Lord. Go ahead and read some more.
Verse 4. Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in your own eye.
Amen. Now, you know, our brother has got this little mote. He's got just a little bitty something in his eye. We're trying to gouge it out, trying to get it out, just like having a little splinter in our finger or something. We'll poke and gouge around to get it out. But instead, we've got a beam. We've got something that's a whole lot bigger in our own eye that we're trying to look around, trying to get something out of our brother's eye. But my friend, it's time that we get it out of our own eye and leave that alone that's in our brother's eye. Let him worry about getting his out. We need to just please God. And God's word tells us that we do not judge. I thank God tonight that this message is not on judging. I praise God because people are trying their best. Just like Brother John was bringing out there a while ago about the woman that was caught in the very act of adultery. Jesus didn't even judge her himself. He told her, he told them, he said, you without sin, you cast the first stone. And praise God, they couldn't even cast a stone because they had more against them than what she had against her. I tell you what, it's time today that people start trying to judge other people. They just need to be praying for them. You know, if them men that had caught that woman in the very act of adultery, instead of them bringing her to Jesus, trying to stone her and trying to accuse Jesus, they need to be trying to pray for her. They need to be talking to her, trying to get her to change her life. But instead, people are still the same way today. They're still they're throwing stones at people that they need to turn their life around. They need to think and study a little bit. You know, what I'm judging this person for, I can be judged even worse because I have done this I have done that. But praise God, I'm thankful tonight that we don't have to worry about judging someone. That's all in the Lord's hands. A true born-again believer, they're not trying to judge nobody. They're just trying to help the person. The Bible said them that is been overtaken in a fault. For them that is still spiritual, I go to them and try to turn them around. In other words, try to hide that multitude of sin. If they win one soul, they've hid a multitude of sin. That's what we need to be doing tonight. We need to be telling people God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I love the next verse, John 3:17. It said, God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. My friend, that's what we need to be doing tonight. We need to be trying to hide the sin that's in people's lives. We see them as they've been overtaken in a fault. We need to go to them and talk to them with the love of God and tell them that they don't need to be doing that. To come on and let's go with the Lord. Come on and let's believe the Lord Jesus Christ and take him for his word. Hallelujah. Go ahead and read some more.
John 7:5. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye.
Praise the Lord. You see, he said for us to get the beam out of our own eye, then we can see clearly to get that little mote out of our brother's eye. But you know, people today, they don't even have no fault. People today don't even look to know to their own self and try to figure out what they've got wrong in their own life. But they're always looking to see what the brother's got that's wrong in his life. My friend, I'm going to tell you, we need to check out our own self. We need to check up on our own payments and see where we stand with God. Because if we don't, we're going to be in trouble one day when we stand before the Lord and trying to judge somebody else. We need to judge our own self. Then we need not a judge. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Okay, I'm going to go to John 12:47-48. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I come not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day.
Praise the Lord. You see, if we reject the word and reject God, then we're going to have a judge one day, and he's going to judge us in the last day. I tell you what, it's a thing. It's something that we need to know. Praise God that God, he didn't come to judge the world yet, but my friend, he said that we would be judged one day, praise God. I see. In verse 46, it says, I am come a light unto the world, that whosoever believeth on me shall not abide in darkness. You know, if we'll believe on the Lord, we'll not abide in the darkness. Praise God, it's time that we believe on him and that we'll stay in the light. Hallelujah. You know, the one passage of Scripture, it talks about if we a man in the light, in the daytime he'll not stumble, but in the nighttime he'll stumble because there's no light in him. My friend, I'm going to tell you something. We need to be in the light, and we need to walk in the light as he is the light. Then we'll make it all right. Praise God, it's a time that we need not to be worrying about judging. We need just let our light so shine before men that they'll see the good works and want to glorify the Father which is in heaven. I tell you, it's a time that we walk as the Lord would have us to walk. It's a time that we do the things that's pleasing unto God, and then we'll make it. But we're going to have to do what the Word said, and we're going to have to walk up like the Word says if we make it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Okay, we're going to Romans 2, 1 through 5. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest does the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of the Lord, or of God, is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasureth up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God.
Amen. Praise God. You've heard what the Word said there, so I tell you, we need to try to be obedient to the Word and try to serve God the way that God wants us to. I tell you, if we know that that we're not supposed to do something and we do it, then we're wrong. The Bible says there, and I believe in James, and it says this. It says, to him that knoweth do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. And if we know not to break the laws of God, how we break them, then we're sinning. The Bible said, you break one of the least, you're guilty of the whole. My friend, in God's Word is telling us that we're not to judge our brother, but we are to lift him up. If we see one overtaken in a fault, we should lift him up, and we hide a multitude of sin. My friend, if we'll place judgment on him, then the Word just told us there that we do the same. I tell you, my friend, we need to know what thus saith God. We need to try ourselves to live up to the standard of God's Word, that one day after a while that we can hear him say, well done. I tell you, I want to hear him say that one day after a while. I want to hear him say, well done. I want to hear him say, come on in and dwell in the house of the Lord forever. My friend, that's going to be worth it all. But if we don't do what God's Word said, we're going to hear him say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I knew you not. And he'll place us over on the left-hand side, and we'll not go in at the straight gate. We'll go in on the broad gate. We'll go into that eternal lake of fire. We're just only made for the devil and his angels. It wasn't made for man. But, my friend, if we judge God's Word and judge ourselves and twist ourselves around to fit the Word of God, then we'll make it. But if we don't, we're going to miss the boat. We're going to miss the ship that's going up. My friend, we'll be on the one that's going down into a lake of fire. We don't want that, but we want to be according to God's Word. Hallelujah. We don't need to do nothing but judge ourselves and place ourselves under the judgment seat of God and stand that will please God. That's what I pray all the time. Lord, don't let me judge nobody, but let me judge myself that I'll be able to hear you say, well done. Come on in and dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's what I'm looking for, my friend. One day after a while departing from this walk alive and going on to the other side, I want to walk on the streets of gold. I want to move into that new mansion where Jesus said, I've gone to prepare for you, and I will come again to receive you unto myself, my friend. But if I don't do what God's word said, then I won't make it. And my desire is to lift up the name of Jesus, that I draw men. He said, I'll draw men unto me. If we lift up him, he's going to draw everybody unto him. It's our turn that we confess Jesus Christ have been the Savior of this world. He's not the judge right yet, but there's a day coming that he will be the judge. He will be standing at the right-hand side of the Father, making intercession for us today. But one day after a while, he'll be our judge, and we'll be judged by this word. The Bible says over in Revelation, he said one book were open and another book were open, and whosoever name wasn't found written in that book will be cast into the second death, which is the lake of fire that will burn us forever and ever. My friend, it's time that we realize that we are to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are not to judge the people, but the Lord himself will judge us one day after a while. Praise God.
Okay, we're going to Hebrews 9:27, and well, let's start in 26. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto man and men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation.
Amen. Praise God. You heard what the word said there in Hebrews and 9 and 26 and 27 and 28. You know, when I hear of somebody passing on, you know, I tell them, I've said this a lot of times, that let me know that 9:27, Hebrews 9:27, is still on target. It said, as it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that is the judgment. We know, praise God, that man's going to have to die one day after a while, and whenever he dies, there's judgment placed there before us, and we're going to have to answer to the Lord the way that we fall. That's the way we're going to stand before him. My friend, I don't want to fall before God being a judge. I want to fall before him innocent as a little lamb. I want to fall before him that he would judge me, and I will not have no blood on my hands where I've ever judged anyone. I know that there's people that says I'm a Christian, and I know the word said that we know the tree by the fruit it bears, but it didn't say for us to judge them. It said that we would know a tree by the way that they growed up. My friend, I'm going to tell you something tonight. We can be a fruit inspector, but we cannot be a judge. We need just to obey God and be obedient to the Lord. And I'll say that, and I'll be quiet now. And I appreciate you for giving us the opportunity, Sister Green and Brother Green, to obey the Lord. So God bless you. And we have a broadcast here on Tuesday nights right here on Blog Talk Radio from 6 until 8 o'clock. So everybody's invited to tune in and call in and be a part of it with us, sir. God bless you.
Praise Amen. God. Praise the Lord. And you know, tonight we're talking about judgment. If you want to be part of this broadcast, it's 347-989-8862. Praise the Lord. And if you want to reach us by email, it is heisrisen38@aol.com. Again, it's heisrisen38@aol.com. And feel free to message us through email and tell us how we're doing. If you've heard us and something said tonight by one of our ministers and you've got questions or what have you, let's go ahead and let's have a Bible study, if you will. And I can tell you now, we use the King James Version only, and we believe that's the true Word of God. Praise the Lord. Others are just commentaries or other books that man has made to try to make a couple dollars off of. But the true Word of God is not patent. You can copyright that again and again and again, and you will not get in any trouble for rewriting the King James Bible. And God give it to us free, and freely He gave, and freely we receive. Praise the Lord. And we're going to talk to you tonight. We know the subject is on judgment, and everybody sees it, like I said, just a little bit different. And again, and I said this at the beginning of the broadcast, this is controversial, and everybody sees it differently. So the way Brother John brought it out, or maybe the way Brother Yearwood brought it out, or maybe Sister Frieda, maybe how she brought it out, maybe we may have a different opinion, and on those things we don't talk about the subject before. We just let each other know what the subject's going to be about. So I'm going to give you my what the Lord has given me, I feel like, and it's going to be good. Praise the Lord. All of it's been good tonight. Hallelujah. Okay, Ezekiel 33. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he bloweth the trumpet and warn the people. Then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his, on his head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people not be warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way. That wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way and turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul. Therefore, thou, old son of man, speak unto the house of Israel, thus ye speak, saying, if our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how should we then live? Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, For why will ye die, O house of Israel? Therefore, thou son of man, say unto the children of thy people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression, as for the wickedness of the wicked. He shall not fall thereby in the day that he turneth from the wickedness, neither shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sinneth. When I shall say to the righteous that he shall surely live, if he trust to his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all his righteousness shall not be remembered, but for his iniquity that he hath committed, he shall die for it. Now we're talking about the Israel here. Israel is a people who loved God, who believed in God. These are the people that every year the priest would go in and take the sacrifice and go into the Holy of Holies and offer up the sins of the people. And if the priest himself had sin in his life, then the Lord wouldn't receive the sacrifice, and the priest would die. So to me, that's saying that if I'm going to preach the word of God, I better be living it myself. Meaning that I can't be out there saying that the word is against this but and that or whatever it may be, but I'm out there doing these things my own self. I tell you, when we preach this word, we're preaching this word to ourselves as ministers out there, that we must measure up by the word of God, as Brother Yearwood was talking to you about, that we're judged by the word of God. And you know, sometimes people won't read their Bible, but they'll hear the minister. How can you hear the preaching unless the preacher be sent? Praise God. And when we give them the truth, and we don't sugarcoat it, but we tell it like it is, and by the word of God, hallelujah, Brother Yearwood done told you that you know a tree by the fruit that they bear. And you know what? This is controversial, I know, but you know, I'm going to judge. If someone is going to say, let your daughter, your 10-year-old daughter, come spend a night at my house, and maybe the wife is a good wife, and maybe she's a good Christian, and maybe she goes to church all the time, and we see her in the services, but maybe her husband was in the headline news that he molested his children. I beg to differ with some folks, so I'm going to judge, and I'm going to say, no, my daughter can't go over there because I love her. Hallelujah, we better. You know, black is black and white is white, and wrong is wrong and right is right. And I'm so glad that he called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. And I'm praising the Lord. And you know, that's just an easy way for the sinner folk to say, you're judging me. You better look at yourself. And you know, I look at myself when I look in the Word of God, and I see I better measure up, and you know, I better sound an alarm, and I better be that watchman upon the wall, and I better warn the people that the sword is coming upon the land, and you better get ready because God is coming. Oh, praise God. But they want to say, don't judge me. I beg to differ here. We better be a judging, and we better be getting the blood off our hands, and we better tell them the truth. I had a lady ask me not too long ago, said, should she be doing this or should she be? I had another young man, I'll tell you who, my own son. He wanted to know if he could get saved in the living conditions that he was living in. Praise God. He said, Mom, he said, can I get saved? Me and my girlfriend living like we do. And I said, son, under the circumstance, I know that you can't get married right now. I'm just going to tell it on live radio. Hallelujah. Somebody might need to hear this. My answer to him was, son, you just get saved and let God clean up the mess. Hallelujah. I wouldn't dare tell him that he couldn't get saved, but I told him that I can't condone what you're doing. We must not condone what they're doing. We must tell them the truth. I'm his mom, and he's my flesh and blood. I would have loved to pat him on the back and said, you're all right. You're all right, son. You'll be all right. And maybe he will be all right after a while. praise God, but he knows to do good and to do not do it not. It is sin. I tell you that the schoolhouses are teaching the children that there's no absolutes, and there is absolutes. There's right way and there's wrong way. There's an old song that I can't stand it. It says, me and Jesus got our own thing going. Me and Jesus has got it all worked out. And I know we don't. Praise God, me and Jesus don't have it all worked out. Praise the Lord. If I'm in his will and I'm in his perfect will, and then, praise God, the blood covers and a multitude of sin because he loves me. And I shouldn't be a sin in every day. I don't believe that. That we sin every day once we come to Christ. My own son knows better. He lived it in the home. He knows what we believe. He knows it. That's why he asked, because he was convicted. And so many people are condoning in there because it's their own loved one. We better not be telling them that it's okay what they're doing. But we look at others and we say, you all can't make it, but my child can make it. And he's doing the same thing the other child's doing. What's good for their child is good for my child. If the other child has to live right, my child has to live right. I have to live right. The ministers have to live right. Judge not lest ye be judged by the same judgment. That means if I'm against smoking, I can't get up and preach that God can deliver you from smoking and that you should take it to the altar and get deliverance. And I'm out smoking myself. Praise God. I hope this makes sense to you, but this is so misunderstood. Praise God. But we're to sound the alarm, and we're to blow ye the trumpet in Zion. And Revelation talks about in chapter 11, verse 1, it says, and there was given me a reed. Who was given a reed? John, the Revelator, was given a reed. What is the reed? The reed is the word of God. To measure, praise the Lord, let's read it. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod. And the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar of them that worship therein. That's the people of the Lord. And when God was talking to Ezekiel and said he made him a watchman upon the wall, he set him before the people of Israel to warn them, praise God, that the sword was coming. It was the sword of judgment, praise the Lord, that if they don't come clean, right in the house of God, right in Israel, Israel means the people of God. God-fearing people is what Israel means. The Gentiles today means the sinner folk. There's only two kind of people, and some people might disagree with me. There's either sinners or there's saints. You're either born again or you're lost. Praise the Lord. So if you're in Israel, you're a believer of God and Jesus Christ to save you from your sins. If you're a Gentile, that means you're lost and you're undone without God. And us in Israel have watchmen upon the wall, the ministers, the preachers, praise God, to warn you, the evangelists, the prophets, hallelujah, the apostles today, praise the Lord. They're still here in the land today, praise God. And they're to warn you. When you're doing wrong, praise God. And I know that we're not to cast our pearls upon the swan, but our blood, the blood of them, are not going to be on our hands because we warn them. Hallelujah. Praise God. There is absolutes in this. I want to talk about Galatians 5, 21 through 24. It talks about the fruits. In verse 21 of Galatians 5 said, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Should we not tell that to people? Should we not preach all of the word? We should tell them. Is that judging them? We're telling them. They can judge themselves, and I'll show you that here in a minute. Praise God. In verse 22 of Galatians chapter 5 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Look at Romans 12, 1 through 3. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according to God, as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So we're to present our body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. That's our reasonable service. That's what we're to do. Older women teach the young women. Praise the Lord. We need to rightfully to divide the word. And don't let the devil steal what you should be telling and preaching to the people to get them ready. The Bible said that he gave a fivefold ministry for the perfecting of the saints. Praise God. Ecclesiastes 11:3. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. Praise God. So we're to judge ourselves first. And judgment starts first in the house of God. And then where does the sinner and ungodly appear? Praise the Lord. And I tell you, the ministers, they used to preach brimstone and hellfire. They used to preach heaven sweet and hell is hot. And I tell you, I'm here to tell you that hell is really a real place, and it enlarges its borders daily. And we must get ready. We must blow that trumpet. And we must tell the people, get ready, get ready, get ready, because Jesus is surely coming. Oh, praise God. And if judgment starts first in his house, where does the godly, ungodly, and sinner appear? I tell you, this is a straight and narrow way. And one day I saw a woman, a minister in the word of God, and you know, she started saying, how narrow is that place? And she said that she saw herself in a vision on a road, and she said that she took one foot and she couldn't even put 2 feet side by side. That place is so straight, I tell you, that you can only put one foot on that place and then the other foot in front of the other foot and then the other foot in front of the other foot. It is so straight. Oh, but broad is the way to destruction. We better get on the straight way, and I feel the Holy Ghost rising up in me, and we better be sounding an alarm. We better not be playing footsie with the devil. We better tell him the truth that sin is sin. We better stop just preaching that God is only love, because he is love, but he's also a God of wrath. Praise God. There is people that's going to go there, and he does not take pleasure in putting people there, but they will go there. People say, oh, I wouldn't serve a God that would send me to a burning hell. Well, then you better get right and measure up to his word. I know it sounds hard, but it's the word of God. And we don't tear out this scripture and tear out that scripture. We preach it like it is. It's a strict, it's a narrow way. Praise the Lord. The women gave their looking glasses in the temple when the church in the wilderness with Moses. They gave their looking glasses so that when the priest goes in at the laver and he can wash his hands, first he had to stop at the brazen altar, praise the Lord, and hold on to the horns of the altar. Hallelujah. First he came in through the door, and then he went to the brazen altar. I believe that's where he, praise God, if there was anything in his life before he went into the Holy of Holies, he better make it right with God. When we take communion with the Lord, we better make sure that we are right with the Lord before we take that communion. Praise the Lord. When the priest went and washed his hands at the laver, there was a looking glass. And I believe when we look into our looking glass, our Bibles, our Word of God, we're going to be measured by that Word. How can one hear lest a preacher be sent? Only God can send them. Hallelujah, and call you. In Matthew 24, it talks about There'll be wars and rumors of wars, but the end is not yet. Said that when this gospel has been preached, I'm paraphrasing, and to all the world, and they afflict you and they do things because of his name's sake, then is the end. So there's not going to be any excuse. God doesn't wink anymore at ignorance. We're not going to be able to get before the throne of God and say, well, they didn't tell me. I believe the Lord, when it's your turn to be judged, praise God. It says, how a tree falleth, so shall it lay. If we go by the grave, we're already judged. And God knows if you held back. God said there's going to be persecution in this. It's not going to be an easy road for the ministers even. It's a hard way. It's a lonely way. It's not a popular way. It's not to get our name in the Lamb's Book of Life, but it's to get people saved. It is a way to get our names in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's not a way to get our name in the highlights is what I'm trying to say. Not to get our name in that place. So high above, and that everybody loves us and wants to shower us with their gifts and things like that. It's not popular. Pray for Brother Green. He had just taken a coughing spell, and he's been bothersome. That's why I said wrong what I just said. We are to have our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but not in the lights. Our names aren't supposed to be in the lights, praise God, of this world in Hollywood. And all over television, and if it's for a good way and you're telling the truth and you're using television, praise God. We use a radio, we use internet, hallelujah, we use a telephone, but we better be preaching the word. And like I said, it's not popular. Praise God. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord. If we're talking to you tonight, and you know you're not living in that place that you ought to be living, and you're living in darkness, and you're living in things that are secret. God said nothing that's hid shall be hid. It will be uncovered. It's going to be brought to the light. And God sees everything. You can't hide. You can't run to the mountains and say, hide me, Lord, or hide me from this day of judgment. You cannot hide. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And you're going to be there if you're standing in that day. And you have turned Jesus away, you're going to be judged. You're going to be judged whether you're doing good or whether you're doing bad. God knows your works. Praise God. Praise God. We're going to pray right now. Lord, in the name of Jesus, God, I ask you to touch Clint Green, Lord, right now. Touch his lungs. Help this coughing attack, dear God. And the enemy is really mad, and I know it. But, Lord God, you've given us this. Lord Jesus, when you called me to preach your word, you gave me these very scriptures to be a watchman on the wall. I know I'm a female, but, God, you said greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. It's not male, not female, not Jew, not Greek. It's none of that, Lord, but it's you, God. It's your spirit. It's the Holy Ghost that rises up in us and the ministers. Lord, it's to preach your word. In the name of Jesus, I praise you, God. If I'm never the most popular person in the world, I don't care, Lord. I'd rather live for you. I'd rather tell somebody the truth instead of sugarcoating it, Lord. I better tell them. I better tell them. I better sound the alarm and praise God. Hallelujah. Joel chapter 2, read it. Joel chapter 2 said, sound ye the alarm in Zion. Blow ye the trumpet. Hallelujah. Praise God. There's going to be a mighty army in this last day. And I believe it's a strict way. I believe that if you want to be in this, you better have no guile in your mouth. You better have a pure heart. You better have clean hands. And I love you enough to tell you, you better be clean. If you want to be a part of this army that God has chosen, hallelujah. Joel chapter 2 said that they will walk and they won't break rank. They won't thrust one another. Praise God. They'll love one another. They'll tell each other. There'll be a watchman on the wall. And they'll say to their brother or sister, that's not quite right. You better do good. You better do better than that because I love you. I'm going to tell you the truth. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I'm not going to go out and dabble in sin and tell you to live right. I must live right first before I can tell you to live right. That's what it means when it says, judge not lest ye be judged. Praise God. It means you're going to be judged for that same judgment that I judge. And what do I judge with? Greater is he that is in me that gave me the rod to measure this temple. Praise God. The fivefold ministry for the perfecting of the saints, to be perfect in Christ. There is a way that we can be perfect in the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We sing a song sometime at church long years ago. It said, I ain't done nothing today that'll make my Lord ashamed. I ain't done nothing today that'll make my Lord ashamed. Well, I ain't done nothing today that'll make my Lord ashamed. I'm going to testify, going to praise his holy name. Well, I ain't watched nothing today that'll make my Lord ashamed. I ain't watched nothing today that'll make my Lord ashamed. I ain't watched nothing today that'll make my Lord ashamed. I'm going to testify, going to praise his holy name. I haven't said nothing today that'll make my Lord ashamed. I haven't said nothing today that'll make my Lord ashamed. I haven't said nothing today. Now, this is not a self-righteousness. We're not talking about being self-righteous. We're talking about lining up to the Word of God and loving people enough to tell them, praise God. Don't send your children to a child molester's home, and you know it. Don't send your kids with other kids that you know have been stealing to the store by themselves. We're to judge, folks. We are to judge. We're to have wisdom in this. We're to be wise as serpents, but gentle as a dove. We can deliver our message with love. It's the message how it's delivered. It's the truth, and it's not sugarcoating it, and it's not harsh, but it's truth. A lot of people take our sweetness as being weak. We can be sweet, but firm and stand steadfast that the devil can't shake. Unmovable. Steadfast and unmovable is what God wants. We sing another song, God, he wants somebody real. My God, he wants somebody real, somebody who's saved, sanctified, and Holy Ghost filled. My God, he wants somebody real. He don't want somebody that'll go to church on Sunday, then turn around and live in sin on Monday. Somebody who's steadfast, unmovable, that the devil can't change. God, he wants somebody real. God wants to be able to trust you, to trust you with his word. Praise God. We're going to stand accountable. Hallelujah. Us ministers, teachers, evangelists, apostles, prophets, we're going to stand accountable. Hallelujah. He said to assemble ourselves together in the last day, as much as you see the day approaching. I didn't say it right, but the scripture for us to assemble ourselves to help one another. And it's not always sweet. It's not always a sugarcoating it. It's not always a happy message. It's not always that how we're all going to go to heaven and we're all going to shout on the streets of gold. Those are great messages. But it's also to move up, live closer, lay down the weights. Take off the sin. Praise God. And I'm going to turn it to Brother Green. We've got a lot of time left. Praise the Lord. And it's sure been good to be on here. I felt the Lord in it. And God is good. Hallelujah.
Praise God. It's good to be with you. And I thank God that I'm saved tonight. I thank God that I've obeyed the Word of God. And I've got my name in the Book of Life. I've been y'all pray for me. I've been fighting a cold or something down in my chest, and I know the Lord's going to see me through, give me strength, and bring me through this, and he's my healer, he's my deliverer, and he's my refuge in the time of the storm, and my rock in the weary land. I tell you, we're living in the last days. And the Bible tells us in the last days that many will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. They would have their conscience seared as with a hot iron. And we see that happening today. We see it all around us. We see new doctrines coming up. And we know that some of them believes that everybody's going to be saved. But, you know, the Bible tells us that not everybody is going to be saved. Just like Joanna told a little while ago, said that there's going to be a judgment day. There's going to be a day coming. The pastors, preachers that was on here earlier, they read you the Word of God and told you that there's a judgment day coming. And the Bible tells us that the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it begins at us, what shall the end be to them that obey not the gospel? And where's the sinner and ungodly? Where are they going to appear? I tell you, they're going to appear lost. They're going to appear standing before God, and they're going to stand there, and they're not going to have the righteousness that it takes to make heaven their home. They're going to stand there, and they're going to be naked before God. There's not going to be no clothing. You know, I thought of Adam and Eve in the garden when they sinned. They lost their covering, and they saw themselves, and they was naked. They hid themselves amongst the trees. And the Bible said they took fig leaves, and they tried to make themselves aprons to cover their self and to hide their nakedness. But because they didn't want God to see them naked. But you know, God already knew about it. And he said, Adam, where art thou? And he had hid himself amongst the trees of the garden. I believe there was some pretty good-sized trees in that garden for him to be able to hide himself. But it don't matter about that today. But what does matter is that we got everything right with God. And that's why we're preaching here tonight. And I thank God for the ministers that have come on, and they've read and studied the Word of God, and they've preached, and they've tried to give you a side of the gospel. That, you know, that we need not to judge one another. And the Bible tells us we need not to judge one another, but we need to judge this, that no man put a stumbling block in his brother's way or his sister's way. And when we come into the house of God and we get born again and we're a part of the family of God, and it's our duty to keep sin out of our life. It's our a responsibility to keep ourselves right with God. And if we don't, we'll fall out. We'll come up short. But I don't want to come up short on the judgment day. But I want everything to be okay between me and God. When I stand there on that day, I want to hear him say, well done, enter in, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord, that you've been faithful over a few things, and I'm going to make you ruler over many. And, you know, I want to be there when he passes out the rewards. I want to get some rewards, don't you? And I know Brother Samples and Brother Yearwood and the ones, Sister Frieda, and them that's working for God, and the ministers out there that's listening in. And you know, brother, I thought about Brother Hicks. You know, he'd preached the gospel for 80 years, and his wife preached it for 80 years. And, you know, between them two was 160 years. And we don't know how much longer Brother Bob will be able to preach the gospel, but I would say that he's a willing vessel, and he'll preach it as long as he possibly can. And there's many ministers out there, and I don't believe there's no time to retire. I believe there's just time to get fired up a little bit more. And, you know, the Lord could come. He could come today. The Bible tells us in an hour when you think not, the Son of Man cometh. You know, we think we've got it figured out a lot of times, and the different organizations and different types of church organizations have taught different ways, and the one says he's a coming this way, and another says, no, he's a coming another way, but the thing about it is he's coming. And he is coming just like the Bible says. And, you know, we may not always get it exactly right, but I just try to preach the whole counsel of God. I just try to tell you that he's coming, and I try to tell you that there's a judgment day, and there's a resurrection. The Bible talks about of the just and of the unjust. And John chapter 5, I believe it is, he said that there's going to be a resurrection, but he said there's going to be two of them right there. He said there's going to be a resurrection for the just, and there's going to be a resurrection for the unjust. And one will be a resurrection unto life, and the other will be a resurrection unto condemnation. So he's talking about two judgments there. He's talking about, you know, the righteous are going to be judged according to their works, and their works do follow them, the Bible says. And, you know, I forget where that's at. It said, blessed are they which die in the Lord, and their works do follow them. And I ain't got that exactly right, but it's in there somewhere in Revelation. Praise God. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So we got to get this right, church. We got to get it just like the Bible says, that, you know, if I've got sin in my life, I've got to get it out. And if I'm judging people, I need to quit judging people. If I'm judging people and I'm doing what they're doing, and I'm doing other things that might be worse than what they're doing, like Brother Yearwood was bringing out, if I got a beam in my eye, and I'm telling somebody with a little splinter, well, I'm going to pull that splinter out. Well, I better get the beam out first. And that was good preaching, Brother Yearwood. And I'd say the church needs that kind of preaching, because it seems like that, you know, there's a lot of people in the church that's untouchable. And I'm not saying that in a mean way, but I see it going on. People will be saying amen, and they ought to be saying, oh, me. Praise God. Sorry about that. But, you know, that's the way it is. Some say it's for somebody else, and it's not for me. But the whole counsel of God, it's for me, and it's for you, and it's for your brother and your sister and your son, daughter, whoever they might be. And we can't, like Joanna said, sugarcoat it over here a little bit, because my son, you know, I'm making excuses for him, or my daughter, I'm making excuses for her. Well, there won't be no excuses on the judgment day. And if we stand before God, and when the books are open, the Bible said there'd be another book in Revelation 20. There'll be another book opened, and that is that's the Lamb's Book of Life. And we did, and I see glory to God. I'm getting my mind thinking here, and trying to get things right. You know, I think, you know, there in the Bible talks about many people that's been judged already. The Bible talks about Eli. The Bible talks about him and his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. And the Bible tells us that they didn't live right. And, you know, they were Levites, and they had the charge over the house of God, and they was to keep the lamp burning in the house of God. And the Bible tells us there in 1 Samuel that they disobeyed God, and they got out of the way. And God sent a man and told Eli, said, I'm going to cut you off. I'm going to cut you off because you ain't living right. And I've given you this responsibility to be in charge, and you ain't doing it, Eli. You're compromising, and your sons, you're not teaching your sons, and your sons is doing things that ain't right. And that man of God said, the Lord is going to cut you off, Eli. And I want to get over there to chapter 2, 1 Samuel. Read just a little bit of that. 1 Samuel chapter 2. Praise God. Verse 22 through 25. 22 through 25. Praise the Lord. I don't know how much time I got, but it said, now Eli was very old, and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said unto them, Why do ye such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all these people. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. Ye make the Lord's people to transgress. See, because they wasn't living right, they was hindering the whole church. And Israel was a church in that day. The whole nation of Israel was a church, and they was supposed to be a holy people separated unto God. And Eli and his two sons were in charge at that time. And so Eli says here in verse 25, If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearken not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them. In other words, they done gone too far, and it was already too late. Eli had waited too long, I believe, to give instruction to them sons. He knowed this was going on. And instead of stepping up to the plate and saying, Sons, you ain't living right. And I guess you could say, well, I'll just let that go. But, you know, I guess you could say he was a judge at that time. And, you know, God set judges over Israel there in the book of Judges, and they judged Israel. Now think about Deborah there in the fourth chapter of Judges, and she judged Israel. And all Israel came down to be judged. And you know, this man, Eli, said in verse 25, he said, If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. He's talking about an earthly judge. He's talking about going to the court system and getting things took care of. And, you know, a lot of times you could go to the court system and you could get things took care of. If you've got enough evidence, you know, you can win the case and get things turned around. But if you sin against God, this man of God, Eli, said, But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? In other words, we got to come to God on our own. I can't pray somebody into heaven, and you can't pray somebody into heaven. I can tell them they're living right or they're living wrong. I can pat them on the back if they're living right, but I can't pat them on the back if they're living wrong. I got to say, no, you know, that's wrong. And it sometimes may get you in trouble. It might be that they'll get angry with you, but, you know, down the road, they'll think about it. And down the road, the situation can be turned around. And, you know, the light, I tell you, when there's darkness and the light comes in, you know, the darkness has got to disperse, because the light is what shows up, and the darkness realizes, hey, there's a light, and I got to get out of here. In other words, the darkness can't stand where the light is, and they'll either give up their sinning, or they'll give up the church or whatever. I remember, you know, some places in the Bible it talked about, and I know the old timers used to do it. If they had members in their church. I remember when the Church of God, and I'm not that old, but I was a little boy down there in Tennessee, and I remember when the Church of God would call people in and question them if they was living in a situation that didn't seem right and it was bringing a black mark on the church, and the church would say, hey, is this going on in your life? And they'd either have to repent or they'd have to give up their membership. They could still come to church and listen to the gospel, but they couldn't be on the board and they couldn't be considered a member until they straightened things out. Now, I remember a couple people told me about things that the church called them in for, and I can't tell that, but, you know, but it involved some people I knew. And I'll tell you, we need to get the mote out of our eye. We need to get the beam out, and we need to get down to business with God. Just like Brother Yearwood said, we need to get down and get our heart right, and we need to look in the mirror, not to be looking in everybody else's business. You know, the Bible tells us not to be busybodies and run around, get into everybody's business. But we need to look at our own business, and we need to look at our own heart, and we need to judge our heart.
Amen.
But God has sent ministers in to preach the gospel, and they're not going to be very well liked in this last day. Because when you preach the Word of God and you tell them the way it is, well, you know, they're not wanting to live it a lot of times. Because the Bible said that evil men and seducers would wax worse and worse. And they would be a day, and that day is here upon us, I do believe, that he said they would not endure sound doctrine. So we're living in that day. And many are not receiving the Word of God. And the sower went out and sowed, and the seed fell on different kind of ground. And just like it is today, it's fallen on different kind of ground, and some of it's fallen by the wayside, and some of it's fallen on good soil, and they're bringing forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. But we'll keep preaching the gospel, and we'll keep sowing the seed. And I want you to be encouraged out there, the ministers of God, because we're living in perilous times. And in the last days, the Bible said perilous times would come for men. You know, they'd be covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy, without natural affection. And we're living in that day, church. And I want you to be encouraged. If you're a minister of the gospel, I want you to be encouraged. Keep on preaching the word. And if you preach the word, don't you be ashamed. Don't you be ashamed if you preach the word of God. And don't throw in the towel. Don't give up. Keep on pressing toward the high calling of God. And keep on preaching. Praise God. And I thank God that we've got these ministers helping us out, because we couldn't do the work if we didn't have these ministers of God helping us. And we may not, preach all the same way, but we'll preach a way that the Lord uses each one of us. And we'll walk in the light and abide in the vine and bring forth fruit. If we'll keep our hand on the gospel plow, I tell you, we're going to make it one day. I thank Brother Yearwood and Sister Betty and Timothy. They showed us how to get on this here radio broadcast. And so we started ours up because they had already been into it.
Brother John's been with us
from the very beginning, I do believe. And we want to thank God for Brother John. He's been awesome. Mm-hmm. And Brother Eddie Bolton has been helping us out. And we need to pray for Brother Eddie. And I don't know how much time I got left there, Joanna.
7 minutes.
7 minutes, okay. Well, I was talking about Eli. Eli had charge of the house of God. And you know what happened there. You know how that the Philistines came against them, and the man of God came and said, God's going to cut your house off, and you're going to not be ruling, you know, as Levites in the house of God anymore. And you can read that. It's found in 1 Samuel chapter 20, I believe it is. Chapter 2, I'm sorry. And, he said you can go to a natural judge and get things took care of. But I tell you, if you got sin in your heart tonight, you've got to go to the judge of heaven. You've got to go to God Almighty. And just like somebody said earlier in the broadcast, that Jesus did not come to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He didn't come to be a judge first time, but the Bible tells us that he will be the judge the second time. And that's found in Acts chapter 17, I do believe, that I'd wrote that down somewhere, but I don't see it right now. But in Acts chapter 17, let me see if I can turn over there to it right quick. Paul was up there on Mars Hill, and he was preaching there to a bunch of people that didn't know God. They believed in a whole bunch of different gods, and he was trying to give them the gospel in Acts 17 and 29. And here's what it says: "For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is likened to gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. So you see, some mocked, but some said, we will hear thee again of this matter." And these were people that never heard it. These were people that were only used to worshiping idols. And Paul was there in that place, and a place called Mars Hill. And the Bible said in verse 22, "Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, you men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship. Him declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands." So we're serving a living God. Now, I don't know who all's out there. Maybe you got something in your house. Maybe you kneel down, you pray to that, a statue or whatever. But I want to encourage you to check out what we're preaching to you tonight, and see if you think this is the truth or not. And I believe you'll come to the realization that what we're preaching is the truth. I'll tell you, wood and stone, that kind of thing, cannot bring you happiness. Praying to them, it'll get you nowhere. You'll never get answers from God that way. And the Bible speaks against that. Paul tried to tell them there on Mars Hill that he knew who the true God was, and they were doing this ignorantly. They didn't know any better. There's people out there tonight that don't know any better. But that's why we're preaching the gospel, so you can know. And you can look into this to find out if it be so or not. If you can find yourself a King James Version Bible, or a Bible that's based off of King James Version, the King James Version Bible, no matter what language you might be speaking tonight, and maybe a foreign language, but if it's based off of the Word of God, then you've got the Word of God. But if it's based off of something that's not the Word of God, then you don't have the true Word of God. But anyhow, I'm hanging on to my old King James Version Bible, and I'm going to keep preaching it. And my grandpa preached it, and souls and many of the ministers, people in the past, have preached it. And I'm going to turn it back to Sister Joanna, because we're running out of time here. And I'll give it to her.
Praise God. Let's pray real quick over the prayer request, and always pray through the week, if you will, over the prayer request. We've already mentioned Sister Gladys Dittmer. She's usually with us. She has a very bad headache. Some people get migraines. So let's pray right now. Lord, in the name of Jesus, God, we praise you. We thank you for each caller, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for the preachers that have preached tonight, dear God. Your undefilable word, dear Lord, that we must have. God, we thank you for it. If someone out there is listening, dear God, and they need to be saved, Lord, we ask you to save them, God. And they find their place in altar, dear God, to ask forgiveness of their sins, dear Lord. And you be their God, and them be your people, Lord. In the name of Jesus, God, we thank you, dear God, for doing it, Lord. In the name of Jesus.
Ask you, Lord God, send your spirit, Lord.
Thank
bring
you,
a deliverance, God, in Jesus'
praise
name.
The Lord.
Thank you,
hallelujah,
Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Praise God. We're going to try to play this here song. We're going to go out with this. Remember Brother Yearwood's broadcast on Tuesday nights at 6 p.m. And also us again next Friday at 10 p.m. Praise God. And Lord bless all of you.
Amen. God bless you.
God bless.
God bless.
Brother Donald Tapio.
And hold.